love, 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 love. And of course, it ended up with all you need is love, right? And you heard that. It's love. Okay, okay, let's do it. All you need is love.
One more time.
You know, their manager, his name is Brian Epstein, said of this song, it was an inspired song and they really wanted to give the world a message. The nice thing about it is that it cannot be misinterpreted. It is a clear message saying that love is everything.
Amen.
All right? Well, I got news for the Beatles. Though I truly believe that they are a great group. I love their songs, their talent, I love their music, their sound. I loved everything about that. But they missed something. Because love is not all that you need. Let me look around. Let me see. Yeah, I'll show you, okay? In the first letter of John, we've come all the way to the fourth chapter, and this is what it says. Beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And in this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, remember that? As that great term, right? Endearing term. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, and if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfect in us. And by this we know that we abide in him, and he is in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. Pause. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as a Savior of the world, and God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. And there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. And those who say, I love God, and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or a sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. Yes, love is not all you need. You know what we need more than love? God. The thing about it is that we sort of take that word and that term and twist it and make it whatever we want it to be. You know that there's different terms for love in Scripture, right? In the Greek, love can be agape, love can be philios, it can be eros, it can be different things. Love can be I want. So, sorry Beatles. If was all that you needed, this world would be diving for it everywhere. But what we really need is God. Now, I think the Beatles were on the right track. Don't get me wrong. Right? I think that they had read something like this. If I speak in tongues of mortals and of angels, remember that? Right? But do not have love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have all faith, superpowers, right? If I have all that and don't have love, I'm nothing. So it is true, love is one of those things that is the engine that can make us run. But again, if we have the wrong focus, it can gain us nothing. I believe that John Lennon, when he was writing that, he had something to build with. But maybe he had not paid attention to all that this first letter of John, the gospel writer, has for us. And I wonder, I mean, we've been going through this letter, right, for a few weeks now. And by now, you should know that John is not saying anything new. He's just harking on that same thing over and over and over again. Love comes from God, and we ought to show it to one another. I mean, that's it, right? It's simple. Why does he have to say this over and over again? And I want to remind us that John is trying to speak pastorally to those who are reading. He's trying to address an issue that is alive and well with them. And that is the issue of division. Division was sort of brewing in their midst. Contrarianism. Well, you believe that, I believe this, and that makes you different than I am. And therefore, one of us must be wrong. And this was a theological context. That was an issue of theology. We believe that Jesus is the one, and some others says, well, but he cannot be because, and therefore, again, one of us must not be right. So they were playing this separation game. They were putting themselves on pinning themselves on one side or another of the issue. I think this way, you think that way. I'm right, you're wrong. So you go your way, I go my way. I don't need you, you don't need me. Why are we messing with this? I mean, do you see that logic? It somehow becomes one of those things that just they say, well, but I like it this way. And if I like it this way, that must mean that I'm right. Therefore, I don't need you. And I don't know if you can see the slippery slope of that thinking. Do you see it? It may become one of those things where we start just creating these situations and relationships that really get to us and de facto just separates us from the others. and John preaches. He preaches to those who are listening, and he says, love is shown by those who lay their lives for the other. Oh, come on, I thought that everybody was going to say, yes, I'm ready. Silence, that's all I get? Is that it? You see, that's the thing. I mean, if we would really take this concept to heart, that means that we would walk the extra mile to bring my brother or my sister in. Right? I mean, to that person that I really don't like all that much, I would invite them for dinner. I can see it now. Oh my gosh. I wasn't kidding. But you see how it is that we come to these places where we just automatically try to say, okay, well, that means that I am of this clan or that clan. I'm of this tribe or that tribe. And that means that I can't relate to the other. Now, that's in the theological realm, right? That we're talking about opinions of theology, but this applies to all kinds of relationships. It applies to familial relationships, to racial relationships, to cultural relationships, to social relationships, to religious relationships, as we said, but it includes political relationships. You know, even long distance relationships. I mean, it applies to all kinds of the way that we relate to the world. No wonder we're displaced, even after all these years, right? 1968, let me see, 78, 88, 19, 50 years we've been hearing that song and nobody pays attention. Love, love, love. So what is it? Yeah, it's not all you need is love. All you need is really God. What is happening here is that we're not paying attention to what God has for us. He's the author of love. He's the one that really can define how that can work. He not only is the author of love, he sent his son so that he would lay his life so that we would get an example of what it takes. Right? So that he would be our example of what it takes to relate to one another in love. If I don't have love, I gain nothing. If I don't have God, I gain nothing. So here's the thing. Maybe we assume that everything has to be all right according to our perception in order to be okay. You were talking about this last week, right? You know, maybe our way of looking at the world is the one that is wrong. But that's our reference most of the time. And I told you the story about my motorcycle, right? You remember? By the way, motorcycle's doing fine. I'm riding it. Everything's cool. I didn't have to do anything, right? But since August of last year, I told those who was here last week, I had been under the impression that the motorcycle engine was dead because I heard this noise that I thought was, you know, one of the cylinders that was bad or something had gone on. And I did not touch that motorcycle for almost a year, 8 months. It's sitting there. And I'm saying, oh, how much is it going to cost to fix? How much is it going to cost so that I can ride it again? Right? And the other day, I just charged the battery and boom, it's going, everything's fine. All the story I had in my mind was not true. But you see what happens? Sometimes our perception is skewed. And maybe that's what happens. And when we think that God gave us a mind and gave us the ability to think, the ability to learn, to get educated, to create opinions, to engage with ideas and put them into action. And since He has given us all that ability, then we must be able to come to the right conclusion. And then we create this reality. Again, there might be an alternate reality. Sometimes it's a philosophical idea, and we just wrap ourselves around that and we run with it. But let's not confuse that with truth. Again, last week we talked about that we have some perception of things that may be very well disconnected with reality and very well disconnected with truth. And it's even harder now because we have reality what? Reality TV, right?
Oh.
Right? We have reality TV and we have supposed reality internet. You have all these kids doing absurd things, you know, like running on their motorcycles and just stopping with something and flying and going around. I don't know. I mean, I've seen some of this stuff and I said, that can't be real. But even Facebook helps with that. I don't know. How do we combat then? How do we combat the bend of our perception of what reality is in our lives? Well, I think that John helps us with that. And this is why he says, and I think we heard it. We paused on it. It says, by this we know that we abide in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. He has given us of His Spirit. You see, it's not only a matter of loving, it's also a matter of knowing. If we know that God is with us, and that God has given Himself to us, and that we have a reference point to refer to in Scripture, then we have the tools that we need. Right? You agree? Yeah. Then we have some tools to work with. In the true spirit of Pentecost, right? John has just given us context. God is love. And if we want to know, and if we want to be working in that love, we ought to get to know God. We have a reference point because He did not leave us alone to figure this out on our own. He provided the Spirit of God. And that Spirit is not alien. It's not something that is coming from out there. It's something that is actually in us. He's ready to guide us. It's not only one of those things that is available for our entertainment. You know, sometimes we think of the Spirit and the power of the Spirit of something that we can manipulate so that The Spirit can do something that so that we can say, whoa. Right? Oh, look at that. That must be awesome. But the Spirit of God is way beyond our amusement. The Spirit of God is intent on filling us with what God is. And giving us that essence of whose God is, what's God's character, and how we can then emulate that character in our lives. Amen. Now there's one more thing here and we'll be done. Cool. The last thing that John mentions here is the issue of fear. Fear may be the most common denominator for all separation, for all division, for all destruction. Fear is the one element that comes into play when we separate ourselves from the rest. And he says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear.
Amen.
Yeah, I don't know if you can, I don't have words. Perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. So why? Why is it that we therefore we then fear the other? Jesus says to us, love one another. He doesn't say fear one another. He says love one another. And it's not just that filial love. It's not just like, hey, let's hang out together. Hey, you know, let's see a basketball game together, or a football game together, or a hockey game together. It's not just that. Perfect love does not include fear. Wow. I heard these words from the prophet Isaiah, and with this we'll end. Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I am with you. You get that? Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So if today there is any fear sneaking up in your life, hear these words. If there is anything that is keeping you from experiencing love to this fullest extent, hear this. I am with you, says your God. I will help you. And I will strengthen you. Boy, do I need that. And I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. So in anything out there that is just keeping you restless, there is perfect love available for us. Let's pray. Dear Father, you are good all the time. You are good, but we don't always realize it. And Father, at this moment, at this time, in this place, for this people that are here, those who are listening, Lord, I just pray that your goodness will be abundant in their life. That they may open themselves to hearing your words, to seeing your spirit, your character, and as a model to follow, and not go by the model of the world, not go by what our city is trying to do in us, and how even we organize ourselves in our society, but go by what you have for us. Help us, Lord, to not only experience that love for us, but also to share that with others. In Jesus we pray. Amen.